Welcome to Pen and Page Gals, the podcast where we're flipping through our favorite and recent reads. Your hosts are me, I'm Jensine.
And I'm Sophia. And in a digital age when everything is fast-paced and fighting for our attention, we hope to inspire you to slow the scroll and pause for some pages instead. Hello, 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 and welcome to our first 2022 episode of Pen and Page Gals. It's me, Sophia, with my co-host, Jensine. Say hi.
Hi.
Happy 2022.
I know. Happy New Year. Oh, like your beautiful face in the screen. I feel like I haven't seen you in so long. It actually has been a while.
I feel like it's been the longest time.
It literally has been at least a month. Yeah.
At least a month, and I don't know. We've both been doing our own thing this month. And in our little
group chat. It was the holidays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just been the quietest it has been.
Like, yes.
Since our beginning, you know.
Yes.
A few years ago.
Yes. So,
it's been quiet.
We'll get into it. We'll get into it. Yeah. There are reasons. There are reasons. We'll get into it. But, yeah, I haven't seen you in so long, and I miss you.
Literally, your Christmas party?
Yeah.
Which is, like...
Which was more than a month ago.
More than a month ago.
Oh, it was, crazy. Like, 5 weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I keep thinking, oh, I need to make a blog post on my personal blog about my New Year's resolutions or, like, just, like, kind of, like... I don't know, starting off 2022. Yeah. And I keep thinking, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And it's January 24th now. So
is it?
It's like, you have 1 week, girl, and then it's February. Like, so the time is flying by so fast. And I feel like we got stuck in this weird, like, limbo feeling of my head thinks it's end of December.
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, maybe early January. And I'm like, I still have all the time to, like, set my intentions for the year.
Have you seen those memes where people are, like, January 1000th or whatever? Like, people think January feels like the longest month.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at my calendar and January's gone. And I don't know where it went.
I was super busy. But did you have a good New Year? I know it's been, like, 3 weeks since New Year, but...
I'm, like, thinking. We did have a good New Year. It was pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. My kids... We do, like, a 9 o'clock Eastern time New Year's.
Fun.
So we do the ball drop in New York. And this is their second year doing it. So they remember doing it last year.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun being, like, a tradition for us. So... Yeah. We did that, and it was a lot of fun. And then, you know, they go to bed, and then we stayed up, but we stayed home. We didn't do anything with anyone this year. I feel like everyone was kind of in the same stay-home mood.
Yeah.
So.
Everyone was, like, under the weather, and going into Christmas, the weather was bad, too.
Oh, was I think the weather was, like, pouring?
Yes. Yeah. I think by the time New Year's rolled around, the weather, it stopped being so wet. But, yeah, the week before, it was just, like, the most rain I think the Bay Area has seen in years or something like that. Also, just as an aside, I apologize if you can hear, like, laundry in the back or if you hear, like, dog collars rattling. Like, both of my dogs are here in my office with me. The laundry is going. It's just... real life. So if you hear that,
Monday.
I apologize. It's a Monday. We got things that we got to take care
actually,
of. Like
when I heard your laundry, when I hopped on, I was like, "Oh shoot, I need to move my laundry because I need it moving it." So I'm gonna do that later after.
And isn't it so true that if you don't do it like right when you remember to do it, you'll forget
it's
until tomorrow,
the whole day, and you have to wash it again.
I know. That's why I moved mine, because I was like, I'm going to forget after we're done recording, so I'm just going to let it go, and if it's loud, then it's loud, and I'm sorry.
It is what it is.
We're going to talk about resolutions and things, but before we get there, I want to play a really quick game of, like, a New Year's this or that, just to sort of get our podcast juices flowing again. It's been a little bit, you know, it really hasn't. It's, we always record once a month, so it's not like we've taken any longer of a break than we normally do, but for some reason it feels ancient. Like, I'm like, I haven't done this in so long. Like, no, girl, it's literally been the same 4 weeks.
2022 done to us?
I don't know. Okay, so you ready? This or that? Ready, New Year's edition. So this is like asking about what you prefer to do for NYE.
Okay.
This or that? Party at home or travel to a popular destination? I know you love to travel.
That's hard.
Yeah, but this is for New Year's.
For New Year's, I would say stay home. I'm too old to do that thing.
I know. You're not even that old, but I feel you. Okay, this or that? Champagne or liquor?
Champagne!
I know!
Champagne every day!
Every day! Okay. This or that, make resolutions or no resolutions?
I will say resolutions.
Yes, but we call them like habits or goals, right? Not really resolutions.
Yeah, I never really call anything formal either.
Yes, yeah. Okay, this or that, stay up until midnight or go to bed early?
I try to stay up.
Mine's go to bed early.
Yeah,
I know. I can, like, don't even care. I'm like, I'm going to sleep.
Did you stay up?
I stayed up by accident. I stayed up by accident. Well, actually, did I? I say I stayed up by accident because I have a memory of James coming in. Like, I was, like, in our room, and he came in at midnight. I was on my phone, and he was like, oh, Happy New Year, you know? So I was awake, but I'm not sure why I was awake. Unintentionally. Yeah, unintentionally. Where am I? This or that, fancy dress party or casual party for New Year's?
I want to say fancy dress party because that would be so fun.
So fun, but
realistically, I don't think that would ever happen.
I know. That was the exact thought process that went through in my mind. I was like, oh, how cute to like put on something sparkly and dress up for New Year's. And then I was like, that just sounds like it'd be fun for like the first hour. And then I'd be like, I don't want to do this.
We should throw a fancy party this coming New Year's. It's 12 months away, whatever. But
yeah, let's do it.
We'll do like a 9 o'clock.
Yeah, Eastern time.
Eastern time thing.
Yeah.
Or something.
Let's do it.
Or maybe... We have kids, though. So we can all, like, get away for, like, a fancy dinner or something.
I mean, my kids could do it, probably. Yeah. It's your kids that are a little younger. I mean, but she'll be... Your youngest will be 4 and a half, almost. So... And that's the age that my youngest is right now, and she could do
it. Put it on.
I know. Calendar. We'll think about it. Okay. this or that... This is so random. I don't know why this is on here. Black-eyed peas or white grapes?
I don't know what that means.
I wish I could show you guys that are listening Jensine's face, because we're both like very bewildered. I don't even know what that is, and why is that on here?
Like a not Asian thing.
I know. Pass. Let's like skip it. Okay. This or that, take down Christmas decor or wait until the new year. I guess it means, like, take down Christmas decor before New Year's or wait until 2020.
I waited. Did I? I think I waited. You didn't, though.
I didn't. We went to Stephanie, our friend. We went to Stephanie's house for dinner yesterday, and they have their Christmas tree up, which is, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And Darren walked in. He's 8. And he was, like, with such derision and shame in his voice. I have to teach him better. He walked in, and he was, like... You still have your Christmas tree up? It's January. And like, someone else there was like, not everyone can be like your mom, Darren. Anyways. Yes.
I'll be Sophia.
No, it's, you guys shouldn't. No, it's not something to aspire to. Okay, this or that, sledding or ice skating?
Ooh. I like both. Sledding is more fun, though, I think. I get tired of ice skating after, like, 5 minutes. my feet hurt.
I was going to say the opposite for really? The same reasons, though. I was going to say ice skating because sledding, it's like you got to put on all the things.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be in the snow. And then you have to hike all the way to the top of the hill.
And then go down.
And then, like, go down. And then you have to do it again and again. Whereas ice skating, like, you just go in a circle. Mm. I think I'd pick ice skating.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. This next one, I think I know what you're going to pick. This or that, watch college football or watch a parade.
Football.
All the way. I think for me, it's, I would pick football too, but only because, like, because Jen Sien is a big sports buff.
Yeah.
That's why you'd pick football for me. I'm like a negative sports buff. So that's not the reason why, but I just feel like when I think of watching a parade, that sounds really boring. It's, like, I'm like, at least a football game, there's action. Like, it's fun to watch. It's just not my thing, you know?
Did you ever watch the, or do you watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
No.
You never did?
I might have, like, once or twice in my childhood, but it wasn't a thing that we did. Mm. I don't know. I think I just get bored. Oh, yeah, my gosh. But football. I'm so excited for the Super Bowl halftime show this year.
Oh, my gosh. It is, like, it's for us.
It's for us. Yeah.
It's for us.
For, like, the first time ever, when I saw the lineup, I texted James and I was like, when is the Super Bowl? Because I know it's, like, sometime end of January, sometime February, you know. It
Did
changes
you see
every
the
year,
commercial
right?
commercial for it? Where they, like,
announced. With the one with, like, Eminem.
Yeah,
and it's like, and Slim Shady. So cool. And I was like, oh! I'm so excited. No, I don't care. I'm so excited. I was like, okay, I'm going to mark the Super Bowl down in my calendar just for that.
It really is for us, though.
It is. Okay, this or that, a big dinner or hors d'oeuvres?
Big dinner?
Oh,
I think
I'd pick hors d'oeuvres, like a bunch of small, like tapas style, you know? Like
a bunch
of small things. Okay, and then last one, I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of this, but this or that, sing Odd Long Sang, that song, you know what I'm talking about, that or Kiss at Midnight.
Kiss at midnight.
Yeah. I don't think I ever even really did
song,
the midnight kiss, but
do you sing that song like the Christian worship version at church?
Oh, I feel like we do.
Yeah, because
yes, I feel like we do.
When that song played at New Year's, my kids were like, "I know this song."
Yeah,
because we sing it at church.
I think we do, yeah. So, again, we'll get into it, but we missed, like, a month of church, so we streamed, like, every week for literally 4 weeks. So I'm they're all blending together in my memory. I feel like we did sing, I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, because there is a Christian, like, they changed the words to it. There's
yes,
a praise
like,
song.
Almost like a hymn, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of feel, yeah.
But anyways, we sing it pretty regularly at our church. So.
Oh, do you? Mm-hmm. I don't think we sing it. I don't know.
Okay, anyways.
Now I have to go home or like when we get off, I have to Google this to think about it. But don't take my word for it. If you go to my church, I don't really know what I'm talking about. Okay. Resolutions or just intentions that you'd like to set for this year. Do you have a word of the year? I feel like that's a thing you do.
You go first.
Okay. I don't normally do a word of the year. I actually think this might be the first. No. Last year was my first year. Last year the word was intentional, but
yes.
I don't think I really carried the spirit of, like, it was so new to me, the concept of having a word of the year, that I think I thought about it for the first month, 2 months, and then I totally forgot about it until this year when I was thinking about, oh, like, do I want to have a word of the year? Oh, yeah, I had one last year. So this year, my word of the year is going to be streamline.
Mm.
And the reason why is I kind of got to this point over the holidays where I just felt like I looked around my house and, like, my life, or just I just looked around me, both literally and figuratively. And I was like, there's just so much stuff everywhere, mental stuff, emotional stuff. Actual stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it feels chaotic. So I want to streamline my life this year.
I'm so into that.
Yeah. I don't know exactly every single facet of what I mean by that, but I do know one area that I really want to focus that concept in is my closet. So,
should we Marie Kondo your house?
I mean, I feel like it's coming. Like, it's we're probably like headed that way. It's too big of a step for me to say yes right now.
Little by little.
Yeah, little by little, piece by piece. But it's starting with our master bedroom. So I told James, I was like, we're going to do a little master bedroom refresh. We're not remodeling or anything, but I was like just rearranging some furniture, making it flow a little better. We're getting rid of the, we have like this exercise machine. It's like a Bowflex thing in our room, but like we never use it. So like things like that, like streamline, like declutter, getting rid of it, getting some new dressers, just to create more storage in our room. So like that everything has a place and there's a place for everything. And then kind of in line with the streamline idea is, this is similar to what you, me, and Steph did for the first quarter of last year, but I'm actually going to do it for the whole year.
Yeah.
I am doing 24 purchases for this whole year. This only counts for my closet. Only for my closet. It doesn't include kids. It doesn't include, like, you know, house stuff or whatever. But only 24 things for the whole year. And that doesn't mean, like, I was telling James about this. He's like, oh, so you can buy two things a month. I was like, no, because maybe I won't want to buy some things for 1 month, but then the next month I want to buy five things. You know, it's more like the streamlining. I mean,
Nordstrom anniversary sale. You should just wait.
No. So I don't know what I'm going to do about that this year, because I'm like, that's a perfect example. I'm actually really glad you brought that up, because I kind of forgot about that. That's a great example. So I shop this anniversary sale every summer, and I've been doing it for 10 years now, and all it does is amass stuff for me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not really, of course it's cute, the things I buy, I'm like, oh, that's cute, but I'm not really thinking, do I really love this? You know, does it spark joy, I guess, in Marie Kondo's words, or do I really need this? Is this going to fill a gap in my closet for me? And I'm at the point where I'm just tired of buying stuff for the sake of buying stuff, to be like, I shopped the sale or whatever, whatever the reason is.
Yeah.
So, it's like that kind of spirit that I'm trying to take back of like, you can buy what you want to buy, but make sure you actually want to buy it before you buy it, you know? So there's that. Yeah. And then streamline just even in terms of like my schedule. I don't know. This might not fit with the word streamline so much, but just kind of like focusing on what I want to focus on and not overextending myself with things that I don't really care too much for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do what you love and then love what you do, whether that's blogging or not blogging or Instagram or not Instagram or, you know, just TikTok or not TikTok. Like, just do what you want to do. Instead of
feeling like you have to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Streamline your focus, streamline all the things. So my word is streamline. And I think, like the majority of the new habits that I want to create for myself this year kind of stem from that. But again, I keep thinking, like, I need to really sit down and, like, think about this and reflect on it so I can write it down and, like, put it on my blog and give accountability to myself. But I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. And it's end of January, so I really have to do it this week because it's, like, the month is going by.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's...
I love that. I love that so much. Yeah. That really speaks to me because that's, like, how I operate naturally.
Yeah.
I need things to be like clutter free and you know me, like very minimal. Recently I've been, or at the end of the year over winter break, I just started one of my like regular purges. I just went through everything, threw out a bunch of stuff. My kids were not happy, but felt good.
Do you ever throw something away and then you're like, oh, I really wish I had toss that, like I actually really wanted to wear that or have that?
Not too often.
That's good. I think that's my fear, like what if I want this or what if I want to wear this and then I have to rebuy
it? I always say, if you have to ask yourself, do you want this or not, or should I keep this or not, if you even have to ask yourself that question, it's a no.
Yeah.
Like, it should be an immediate, like, hard yes. No question.
Yeah, I need
this. Yes, I need
this.
But if you even have an inkling.
A doubt, yeah.
A doubt, it's probably a no.
You're so smart because, you know, at the end of last year, not end, like maybe fall of last year, I did do a big closet purge and I removed a lot of stuff. A lot of it was sweaters. I don't know why I have a thing for sweaters.
Dude, yeah.
They all look the same too. Like I have like 15 white sweaters. Anyways, so I was like, I decluttered. And then James was like, you can't just donate these. You should try to sell them, like list them on Poshmark. And I was like, okay. Yeah. And it's just like a personality thing. If I've never done something before, it like the mental, I have to like get over the mental roadblock of like, you can do it, just do it. But because I'd never listed anything on Poshmark before, I only got as far as making an account. And then I was like, I'm too, like, I can't.
You have to, like, take pictures.
And yeah, I was like, I can't do this. Stuff. So then the piles of sweaters sat in bins in my office for like at least a month, maybe more. And then finally when it got close to the holidays and we needed to decorate for Christmas, I was like, I have to take these out of my office. I opened the bins up. Like, what was in here anyways? Like, what was it that I was going to sell? I started taking these and I was like, oh, I don't want to sell this. Keep it. Oh, wait, this is cute. I would still wear this. I'll keep it. And I put everything back into my closet.
No.
This is what I'm talking about. I have to streamline. Like, this is so, slight hoarding mentality, I think.
You need to put them in the bag. And if you didn't think about it, that means you didn't need it.
Yeah, I know.
And then you just gotta get rid of it. It's gotta go.
I know.
You know what you should do? You should do, like, an Instagram story sale. Which is easier, I think, than Poshmark.
Okay.
Because, like, I think about doing Poshmark, too, and I'm like, oh, I don't even want to deal with it. So I've done, like, a couple story sales, and they've been pretty, you know, you can, you might not get rid of everything, but you'll get rid of, like, a good chunk. And then it's, like, I don't feel so bad, like, just, like, donating the rest. Or, like, I do, I don't know if your church has, like, a...
Yeah, like a recycle thing.
Yeah, yeah. So I do that. They do. It feels good, like giving it to someone who would love it.
Yeah.
Too. Instead of like, you know, the trash donation center.
I know. Who knows where it landed? I'm gonna talk to you after we get off about the logistics of the Instagram story sale because that sounds actually really doable.
I feel like the people who follow you would be very interested in your stuff.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
Take those sweaters back out of your closet.
I need to. Yeah.
For me,
do you have your word? Yeah.
I didn't intentionally have a word this year. I don't have one at the top of my mind. But I did feel like coming out, maybe not right at New Year's. I did kind of in the last couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
We can talk about why, but I have been feeling I need to get my life back together, which I feel like regularly after, you know, big events or like trips or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I started working out again. I have like a schedule on on my phone, which I like hadn't for, you know, all months before this.
Yeah, I fell off the habit.
And I'm reading regularly again outside of just, like, the things we plan for this, for book club. So, little by little, I feel like I'm putting the kind of foundational blocks of, like, what I want my life to look like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Putting it in. And then I think I do want to just sit down and figure out my word or an intention for the year. And I think that would help me a lot. But... Yeah. Should we go into it?
Yes, we can. So, my holidays were... My winter break was interesting because all five of us had the Rona. We got hit by the Rona, coronavirus. And it was interesting because the last day of break... for my kids, the last day of school before break started was, I want to say, December 17th, something like that. That Friday, my 4-year-old, I tried to wake her up for school, and she would not get up. She was like, no, I need to sleep. I'm sick. That's literally what she said to me, right? She didn't sound really, like, she didn't have a fever. She just said, I need to sleep. I'm sick.
Oh, poor baby.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to force you to go. It's the last day anyways. It would have been a half day. All they were going to do was, it was fun, but they were just going to do, like, movie and, like, hot chocolate at school. You know, it's, like, fun last day of school stuff. So I told her, I was like, it's jammy day at school. They're going to have hot chocolate. And you get to watch a movie. Are you sure you don't want to go? And she, like, was like, no, I want to sleep. So I was like, all right. Like, that's fine with me. I thought she had just maybe not slept that great the night before. Like, I was like, she's going to wake up and be fine. So she did wake up and was quote-unquote fine, but I could tell throughout the day that she was getting the sniffles, and you could kind of hear it in her throat. Like, she was like, ah! Like, her mood was fine and energy was fine, but she was like, you know, her voice was getting hoarse as the day went on.
Yeah.
No fever, though. No aches. She seemed completely normal. So I was like, I don't think this is COVID. Also, we've been in the pandemic for almost 2 years now. So she's had fevers over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Times where she's been achy and sick. And I definitely tested her for COVID and it always comes back negative.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to, like, I didn't even have any at-home tests at the time. And so I was like, I don't want to make an appointment and take her. She doesn't even have a fever, which I feel like was
the
messaging was like, fever is like number one symptom, right?
Yeah.
I was like, she just has a cold. It's cold and flu season. It's fine, whatever. That was Friday. Then Friday night, James is like, oh, I feel really run down. Like, I don't feel good. And I was like, that's interesting. Because my husband, like, does not complain. And he, like, he's, like, on a different – he just doesn't get sick. His body seems really resilient. And so for him to say he feels run down, it says a lot. So the thing is, though, he had been working really late, like 2 a.m., all week. So I was thinking he either is getting sick because of what our four-year-old has, or he's just tired. Yeah. So I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, okay, just go to sleep early, I guess. Then Saturday, he slept for like 12 hours. That Saturday was the day we had, like, you and we both had a birthday party to go to. And I was, like, texting – the party was at, like, 10 or something like that. I was texting James, like, at 10:30, 11, 11:30. Like, are you awake? Because I left our four-year-old home with him because she was sick. And I only brought the older two kids. And I was like, is she alive? Like, are you alive? Are you guys okay? He texted me at noon. He's like, yeah, I just woke up. She's fine. She's watching TV, whatever. So I was like, oh, he was really, really tired. And then – basically, like, all weekend, he was kind of, like, down and out for the count. He had a little bit of, like, chills, little bit achy, but not, like, feverish. No, he didn't have, like, a hard time breathing. Anyways, I feel like I'm going into depth with all the symptoms. But it's just, the point is that it was clear they were sick, but I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, I asked him, I was like, do you feel like you have COVID? Do you want to go get tested? And he's like, no, I feel like it's just a cold, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay. But then on Monday, Darren, my middle child, woke up with a fever and body aches, and he was so achy that he was crying. And so he's kind of like a wuss too. So sorry, Darren, if you're listening in the future. But he's kind of like, he cries over like easy things, you know? So he was crying that like his, like, I forget if it was his legs or something, but like some muscle was like hurting and he had a fever. So then I thought, oh no, do you have a COVID? And I booked PCR tests. I managed to get same day tests for him. I went and I took him, and PCR tests take 2 days to come back. So while I was waiting for the test results to come back, he was fine. Like, he got sick on Monday. He woke up sick. By Wednesday, he was like playing soccer and he was fine. Yeah. He had no fever, no muscle aches, like just totally fine. So I thought, okay, that was weird, but I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And then Wednesday, the PCR results came back, and they were negative. I was like, oh, so no, it's not COVID. It's just they're sick. It's cold and flu season, and it's cold or whatever. So that was the Wednesday before Christmas. Christmas was on Saturday. All week, it was super rainy, which I'm thankful for because we ended up – we, like, had plans to go ice skating and, like, do all these things. But we ended up needing to cancel everything because of the weather. So – we didn't see anybody. And then even for, like, church, like, Christmas Eve service, we were like, you know, let's just – I feel like we had heard of so many people getting COVID, like even among our friends, that we were like, let's just stay home. And it's rainy and gross and everyone's tired. We were supposed to go to SoCal for New Year's the following week. And my brother-in-law and his wife, they have a newborn. And so we were like, we don't want to accidentally catch something at church and then bring it down when we go see them. So let's just... I kind of felt like, I know we were sick, but we obviously didn't have COVID because, you know, Darren tested negative. So I feel like we dodged the bullet. So let's not tempt fate, okay? So we stayed home all week, streamed church. On Monday morning, I wake up and I'm like, oh, you know, like moms, we just know. I was like, I don't feel right. Yeah. I wasn't quite like sick yet, but I was just like, I feel really exhausted and more than just normal mom tired. And so this is Monday. This is 8 days after Darren woke up sick, right? It's like a full week later. And so then I booked, again, same day PCR test, but this time I did for myself and for Darren, just because I was curious. So I retested him. So we both went. Mine came back negative, but his came back positive. And we hadn't gone anywhere all week. So I was like, oh, no, you had COVID, which means that Avery, our four-year-old, and James probably had COVID, like, you know, earlier, the 10 days before. It was more than a week before at this point. And, like, Emily, my oldest, at some point in all of this, came out of her room one day and was like, oh, my throat feels so much better today. And it was like, what do you mean it feels better today? You never even told me it was hurting. Oh, so I think she had a sore throat and that was like the max of her symptoms. And then sure enough, I eventually did end up testing positive like later in the week. I think it took a couple days for it to kind of build up and show on the test. But all my family, so we all had it, and everyone was pretty much sick for maybe 2 days. Maybe not even sick. Like, Emily, she just had a sore throat. Except for me. I was sick the entire 10 days of quarantine. Oh, I was exhausted. It felt like first trimester pregnancy exhaustion, where you just want to sleep the whole time. I slept all day for 10 days straight. Shout out to James, because he really held on the fort. Like, I, like, did nothing. I would wake up and eat something, drink some water, and go back to sleep. And I had like lingering headaches for a long time. I lost my taste and smell. It was weird.
Thankfully, I feel like you had the gamut of
everything. All the things.
The things. And your family had such varying
And I had a combination of it all, except I didn't have a fever. I never had a fever, but I did get like kind of achy and super tired. And but now that we've all had it, and then I'm gonna get boosted this week. I mean, I guess having COVID is kind of like a booster. But
now
kids are back in school. Like, I'm kind of like, we have super immunity now. Like, I'm like,
wait, so they didn't have to miss any school because this was like back over winter break.
Thankfully, they didn't have to miss any school. Because the timing of it was like literally day zero or day one, however you want to count it, was the last day of school for Avery, and then the weekend, and you know what I mean? So they had more than 14 days where it was like, And they, I tested them all on the rapid, rapid test at home before we sent them all back to school, and they all tested negative.
That's so good.
That was us, and the whole time, like, sweet Jensine and our other friend Steffi, they were like just checking in on me and like sending me gift cards for DoorDash and like groceries and just like, oh, like, you know, I mean, everyone had plans and stuff. Like, Steph was going to Hawaii, and like, obviously, not that I want you guys to see me because I don't want you guys to get sick, but it was just like, you could tell they were trying to like be supportive but like also keep their distance. Like, like, are you good?
It was
but from over
a
here
weird time. It was just such a weird time. And everyone, it was like the holidays, so everyone was kind of like in their own thing, and then starting, I keep saying and weirdest month ever.
Weirdest month, and also, like, I know you'll get into this a little bit, too, when you share how your MLK weekend was, but I was a little, like, scared to tell people. I mean, I told you guys, I told, like, my close friends like on text, but like on Instagram and stuff, I didn't talk about the fact that we had COVID until it was all over, like until we were all pretty much recovered and over it. I didn't say anything about it, and I don't know why, because now on the other side of it, if I hear someone has COVID, I'm just like, I don't think like, oh, you were irresponsible, that's why you got it, you know? I don't think that. I'm just like, everyone has everyone it's just, you catch it probably just from even like living your life and going to the grocery store, like, you know. And it doesn't matter vaccinated, unvaccinated, like, I know people of all vaccination statuses that got it and had symptoms or didn't have symptoms, it's just, I was like, I don't know why I feel like embarrassed to share this or like ashamed to share this, but I definitely felt like, oh, I don't want to really talk about this until it's like done and over with. I was teasing you and stuff. Or maybe it was just stuff, but I was like, you guys are the chosen ones because you haven't caught it yet. And like, I know. So many people had it. Yeah. I was like, I can't believe you guys haven't had
it yet. But they're like the most careful.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Uber.
They are.
But we also got it.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
It caught us. It wasn't that bad for you guys, though.
But yeah, we were not very sick. Like, I was not. I had, like, nothing. Like, I think maybe I have sinus stuff, like, pretty year-round. And I remember having, like, a sinus headache for a couple days.
Yeah.
But that was kind of the extent of my symptoms. My son's school has had them kind of do random testing here there. And they provide the tests. So when we were out of town over the long weekend, MLK weekend, and then when we came back, he had had to test to go back to school and tested positive.
Yeah.
And I was, like, so shocked.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my kids have kind of had, like, a lingering cough since before Christmas. Like, I think around the same time you guys got sick, my kids had colds, like very mild cold symptoms, so they've had like coughs on and off, that lingering cough, but that was like the extent of their symptoms. But he tested positive, and then so he's had to quarantine at home, and we've all kind of just quarantined at home, kind of just assumed we had it. And I felt similarly to you, where I just kind of just didn't talk to anyone, like, the whole week. I didn't even talk to you guys, which is so weird. I was just like, I don't know. I just didn't feel like explaining, and I didn't feel like I was going through so many mental gymnastics in my own head, and like calculating days and like possible exposure and blah 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 blah.
It's confusing.
It's confusing. It's like exhausting, and I was just like, I just want everyone to not be sick. So we're just going to expend as little energy as possible.
Yeah.
So we just stayed home. It was kind of nice. Thankfully, I mean, thankfully we were not very sick. So that was a good thing. And we just kind of chilled at home, watched a lot of TV, read some books. Yeah. Thankfully the kids didn't complain too much.
Yeah.
We're kind of feeling the cabin fever now, but hopefully we can go back to normal this week.
Yeah.
Praying. And I understand. So, yeah. And then we're also going to Hawaii in a couple weeks.
And so,
I'm just, like, praying.
Yeah.
Praying that we're going to be in the clear.
You guys will be fine. Yeah. Because he had it. Hopefully. It's unlikely he'll catch it again. Or, like, you guys will catch it again back to back. Yeah. I'm curious, was his school test a rapid or a PCR? The random testing?
Rapid. So they have apparently, like, the county, our county, maybe all of California is supposed to be able to provide enough tests for each student to be tested. And so our campus, just out of precaution, has been you know, sending home tests. It just so happens that that week they were required to bring home a test. So it was a rapid test.
I see. Yeah, I mean,
which is good, because it did what it was supposed to do. It's like
Exactly. Exposure, you know, so. But it's just, I know that feeling too when you said, like, you were shocked it came back positive, because that's how I felt. Even though for me Darren was sick, he got over it so fast that I was like, this is not, like, surely this is not. Literally, he was sick Monday, Tuesday, woke up Wednesday morning brand new, like nothing had happened. And then also he had a PCR test done. And it said no, right? And so it was like, oh, like, what are the chances? You know, I brought him with me when I got my PCR, just because I was like, why not? It's free and there's two slots. Like, let's just go. I'm curious. I was Like, it almost felt like, what, like a feeling of dread. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it's like the opposite of when you see a positive on a pregnancy test.
Oh my gosh.
You know, where it's like that same,
like the same thing.
Yeah. And you're like, what? Wait, what? This is, it's positive? Like, what does this mean? Wait, how could this be positive?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So I totally understand. Yeah, I feel you. And it's confusing. Like, I'm thankful for me we got it during winter break because I didn't have to really, like, think too much about days and stuff like that. Like, I knew we'd be covered. But I could totally see how it feels like extra pressure because it's like, well, has it been 10 days for you? Has it been 2 weeks for you? And it's like, listen, I promise I won't go out while we're still sick.
I know,
okay? Like,
I know,
you don't need to regulate. I promise I'm not going to spread it, like, to the best of my ability. Like, like, you know, and I think that's part of it, too, is, like, you don't want to have to explain, like you were saying, like, where you
and
were.
I mean,
or, like,
I think, obviously, like, you had it pretty bad, you know, like, as bad as you can have it at home, thankfully, like, not worse. But I think because, you know, our case was so very mild that when, like, people, you know, started finding out and, like, would, like, text, obviously out of concern, like, are you okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And, like,
you're like, we're fine.
It's like, I don't know. I, like, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, to be honest. I was just like, we're fine. It's okay. Don't worry. You know? Yeah. Like, obviously we're not going to go out or, you know, do crazy, but I'm just
you know what?
It's okay.
I felt the same way because I was getting those texts even after we were better. I mean, granted, I did have lingering headaches for a little bit, but everyone else was completely fine, right? And there, there were a few people, and it was, like, not, like, my close friends. It was, like, random people at church or, like, random, like, people I don't really know very well that are texting me, like, a week after I've already, like, come out of my 10-day quarantine, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, oh, my gosh, are you okay? And I'm, like, I am fine. Like, chill out. Like, I'm okay. Or, like, I'm part of this, like, mom's prayer thing for, like, our neighborhood.
Oh,
and the leader, like, heard that I had COVID. And she, like, or, like, that we had had COVID. I didn't even have it currently at that time anymore. But, like, we had had it. And she texted me because I was, like, I can't make it this Wednesday to our prayer group or whatever. It was because I just was, like, didn't feel like going, you know. But then she was like oh my gosh, do you mind if I share, like, your COVID with our group and, like, ask for prayers for you and your family? And I was like, honestly, everyone was healthy, my kids were back in school by this time, right? And so I was like, I kind of didn't want to be, like, rude. I didn't want to say no thank you, I don't want you to pray for me, but also
I don't need that prayer right
I know now. I was so tempted to be like, what are you gonna ask them to pray about, because we're all like, we're fine. So I was just like, share whatever you want. Like, I don't care. But it was just weird. I understand the feeling what you were saying, where it rubbed you the wrong way. You're like, I'm fine, like, calm down about it, you know.
But I could have responded with more grace. You know,
it's fine.
Moving on.
It's fine. It's fine.
Anyways.
Okay. Anyways. So that was our, we just spent 45 minutes talking about our winter break and all that. But we're ready to dive into. Weirdest month ever.
Let's do it.
Speaking of weird.
Weird.
Speaking of weird. Let's talk about the book club pick for this month, which was The 7.5 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle by Stuart Turton. Oh my gosh, I totally said that by memory. Like, go me.
I'm sorry, but
you have very different reactions to this book.
Okay. It was a good book. It was a
good
book.
Okay, so you would say it's a good book, but
it was well written.
Okay.
Definitely a page turner.
Yes.
Like, keeps you engrossed into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Sophia, literally, I had to read this book with all the lights on. I kept, like, looking over,
like,
my shoulder.
Oh, creeped out?
I was so creeped out.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense because Jensine would text me. I read it, like, the beginning of the month, and she just read it, like, last week. And she would text me and be like, I hate this book. Like, this book. And I'm like, wait, I, like, really enjoyed it. I'm not sure why you hate it so much. Okay, I wasn't scared by it, but I can see what you mean. It was dark, a little bit creepy.
Super dark.
Yeah! Okay, I wrote down notes because that's who I am now. But here are my pros, things I liked about the book.
Okay.
So I generally like movies and books that have this sort of like puzzle element to it. So reading the book, it reminded me of the movie Edge of Tomorrow and Memento.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen either of those movies?
I have seen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where it's like there's like a loop, there's something going on, and you're like, You have to figure out the puzzle, right? You have to unlock it. Yeah. So I really enjoy stories like that. So in that sense, I didn't realize that that's what this book was. And as I was reading it, I was like, oh, this is that kind of story. So I was super excited to read it. And I definitely had to finish it. Like, I couldn't – it was one of those books that when I wasn't reading it, I was thinking about it. Like, oh, when he wakes up tomorrow, which character will he be? And, like, how is this going to unfold? Yeah. I really liked the Downton Abbey vibes that it gave.
Ooh, yes. Actually, you're right. It did have
Did you watch Downton Abbey?
Oh, yeah. I didn't watch all of them, but I was really into it for the first few seasons.
It had that kind of feel to it, right? Yeah. I also love murder mysteries. Like, I like loop stories. I also like murder mysteries, and this kind of combined both of them. So, for me, like, the genre was And like you said, the writing was super compelling. I loved that the little twist at the end with Evelyn Hardcastle not being who we she ended up being the maid, right? It was like in disguise or whatever. I don't know. There, I thought that all those little details really added to the story. It was the author was really clever, and I really really liked that. I also really appreciated that the end answer of like what is this. Like, what is going on wasn't something dumb like, oh, it's a video game, you know? Or like, there's a book I read last year that was kind of like this. It wasn't a loop, but it was kind of, it wasn't a loop, but these two main characters would always, like, they would wake up in the morning and then they would, like, be in a different relationship with each other. So sometimes it was father and daughter, and sometimes it was coworkers, and sometimes it was boss and employee, and some, you know, they were like, why do we keep waking up and like finding each other like this? And like, you know, and then when they would go to sleep, it would end or something like that. Anyways, for that book, the answer was so dumb. I was so mad. The end of that book was like, they're astronauts in outer space and they're stuck in hypersleep. This doesn't even make any sense. This is so stupid, you know? So I liked that this wasn't that.
Okay.
But what I didn't really like was that I was still kind of confused when I finished this book. Were you confused like me?
So that the explanation of where they are was so, I thought it was kind of random and like rather abrupt, like who Anna was.
Right.
I was like, okay, like you're just gonna throw this out there,
right?
That she's this terrible person, and but like zero backstory,
no details,
zero details,
yeah,
and kind of just supposed to believe that,
right?
Was like a big hole for me,
yeah,
and so it did leave the end like, okay, so I felt like he did wrap up like the murder mystery,
right?
Plot wise. Yeah. There and the loop that was all like wrapped up, but the actual like Anna, like,
what
and
Black
Aiden,
Heath is, yes,
yeah, that whole piece,
yeah,
you know,
drop the ball not, a little bit,
yeah, for sure. And I mean, it was just a long book already, and I don't know how, maybe it could have been like, you know, woven better into the story itself, but kind of just dropped that at the very end.
Oh, for sure,
didn't feel very satisfying.
I think we would appreciate as readers too, like, having a little bit more context about why Aiden decided to, well, we know he followed Anna in because he wanted to make things miserable for her in the beginning, right? Didn't they say that like he followed her because to him, her being stuck there as her punishment wasn't enough for the death of his sister. So it was like, okay, like, how did she kill your sister?
I know.
Like,
or
what,
even like,
what
who
made
is
you want
she?
To?
Like,
yeah,
why is she
right.
so terrible? Because we were made to like her, right? Or kind of root for her in the book.
That was my note too. Was that she gets redemption at the end of the book? Anna does,
right? And
but
that's
we're
what kind Aiden
of confused
wants,
as to
right?
why. Yeah, but we're like, why do you deserve redemption if you're this terrible person and that this purgatory is a prison designed specifically for criminals like you.
Right.
So I didn't love the prison thing.
I was like,
that was weird. Okay,
convenient. Yeah. But yeah. I don't know. Didn't feel super satisfying. But I think, like, you know, Aiden, as he's going through the different hosts, he's kind of like having that existential crisis, like, you know, trying to hold on to who he is, but like feeling the pull of the host on him too. And then at the end, you know, when he's trying to tell the plague doctor, whatever, you know, like, Anna's changed. She's different.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like he was trying to pull that theme of, like, people can change.
Right.
Didn't Anna say, like, you killed me, like, you shot me or something?
Yeah. And his
Aiden was like, yeah, that Annabelle, the, like, bad person is dead.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah.
Now, like, Anna should be able to be free or whatever.
Right.
So I was okay, kind I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But kind of don't.
Yeah. Also, I kind of wish that they'd given a little bit more information about the plague doctors. And,
right. Like,
there was more than one, right? And then, like, one was, like, trying to help Aiden.
They have, like, supervisors.
Yeah.
Or superiors.
Just, yeah.
I was like, okay. Maybe it kind of like felt a British thing that, like, we don't really understand. I don't know.
Maybe. I also you didn't watch Squid Game, so this isn't going to mean anything to you. But it kind of reminded me of Squid Games in that you find out this is, like, not quite a game, but it's, like, a
it's like a simulation
or whatever. Mm-hmm. You find out that it's this created environment for these people, but then you don't really know anything about why and, like, who created it. And this is the same with Squid Games. At the end, you're like, but why did they do this? Or, like, who are these people? Yeah. And you kind of are left with more questions than answers. But kind of like you said, that's just, like, at the very end of the book. And the murder mystery, it's – and there were two murder mysteries, actually, because it was Evelyn Hardcastle and then also, like, what happened with Thomas, her brother, all those years ago. So I like that he – the murder mysteries, he wrapped up really well. Like, I felt like the endings made sense and it made all the clues make sense. But it was also confusing. Like, I know that sounds oxymoronic. But it made sense, but it was also confusing. I feel like there were so many details of the book I didn't pick up on.
There were lots of details.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, oh, that probably means something, but I don't remember.
I don't know. Yeah. Because the first, like, third of the book, I was just trying to understand what was happening. Like, I was like, wait, and who is who? There's so many characters.
So many characters. I kept having to look in the front where it says,
same,
like,
same, the invitation.
Okay, this is this guy, this is this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do have to say it was exciting. Like, you did keep wanting to read and find out what would happen.
I am also still confused as to, like, the mechanics of how this worked. So, like, when he would wake up in host four on day four, does that mean that the person on day one, like Dr. Bell or whatever, on day one is another version of Aiden in day one? Or, like, do you know what I mean? Like, does he just keep going through all the hosts over and over in a loop? Like, eight of them? Like, I was a little bit confused.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think, I mean, it is
that
him, right? Yeah. But it is him, like, doing the same, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just confusing. And then also, maybe this one has an answer and I just couldn't pick up on it. But one other question I had was Felicity. Because we learn at the end that Felicity was just, like, an actress, like a con woman that the real Evelyn hired to sit in her place.
Yeah.
But then I couldn't understand why Evelyn had, like, coordinated it for Felicity to be murdered by her brother. Because it was like Felicity knew that the plan was for her to fake suicide as Evelyn Hardcastle so that the real Evelyn could escape and go away. Mm-hmm. But then the real Evelyn also, like, colluded with her brother, is his name Michael or something, to have him suffocate her while she was still, like, passed out or something like that. But then, Evelyn couldn't trust that her brother would do it. So then, as insurance, she poisoned Felicity as well and accidentally ended up killing her brother. But I just didn't understand why she was wanting Felicity dead. Other than the fact that Evelyn, the real Evelyn, is like, you shouldn't care about Felicity's death. She was, like, a rat of society, like the scum of the earth, like better off. So it was like, no, explain to me why I should want her to be dead. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me.
I think she just wanted to cover her tracks. Like,
in case Felicity ever came out and said, I'm not Evelyn Hardcastle or something like that.
I don't know.
Okay. I feel like this book would be a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, you need the visuals to understand where the story is. All the little
pieces, you know, the chess pieces and the letters and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah.
And the revolvers, like when he was like explaining how he figured the silver out the revolvers one, part, I was
I don't get it. I know.
But I was like, it's like a moment, you know?
I know.
Be in the moment and it's kind of suspenseful and exciting, but you're also like doing the mental gymnastics of it all.
I distinctly got the feeling of, like, I'm too dumb to understand this right now. Like, it's too complicated. I don't know. You gotta make it easy for me. I don't get it. But it was an interesting book. Yeah. I don't regret reading it. It was definitely different than what we normally would go for. Sure. But it was worth it. I'm glad that next month we'll be reading something a little bit happier,
in our wheelhouse.
Fluffier, a little bit more in our wheelhouse. So on that note, if you don't have anything else to say about this book, I will announce next month's book club. Next month's book club pick is going to be The Boyfriend Project by Farah Rochon, Rochon, and it looks very YA and chick-litty and not YA, but like rom-com and it's going to be good for February and Valentine's Day. So I'm super excited. All right. That was fun. That was a good book banter. Are you ready for our favorite segment of the podcast? Yes. Am I the antagonist? Okay. I have some good ones for you today. So I forgot to tell my executive producer to prepare these, so I was doing it this morning before we got on to record. So I picked two, and then I have a third one that's not an AITA, but it's something I saw on TikTok, and I'm going to play the audio for you.
Okay.
And we'll talk about it, because was very, my emotions were like, at first I was like, what? And then I was like, what? And like, okay, but we'll get to that for the third one. Okay. First one, am I the antagonist for only paying for myself when my fiancé and future in-laws invited me to a New Year's Eve dinner at an upscale restaurant? I, a 32-year-old female, just got engaged to my fiancé, a 37-year-old male named Sam. We do not live together because we're waiting until marriage, given that he and his family are highly conservative Christians, but they're really nice and lovable people. I had plans to spend New Year's Eve with Sam, but he said he was out for a New Year's Eve dinner celebration with his parents, and then called me again, inviting me to join them, and I happily did. His parents were there, they welcomed me and ordered many dishes and desserts and drinks. We celebrated and had a great time, that is, until it was time to pay. I pulled my wallet out of my bag, letting them know that we'll split the check between us. Sam mumbled, no, you don't have to. We invited you. But I insisted. He and his parents then stared at me. I asked what was wrong. And both my mother-in-law, future mother-in-law, and father-in-law said that they didn't have any money on them. I was shocked. I turned to Sam and he said he too forgot his wallet at home and didn't bring enough money to cover even a round of drinks. His dad then laughed nervously and said, all right, so I guess we should let the doctor pay. I was taken aback. So I said, I'm sorry, but no, this is so much money to spend on one dinner by myself, and I didn't think I was expected to pay the entire bill. Sam said I should pay, and he'd pay me back later. But I said no, since I know he'll have to get a job to pay that money. So I guess he doesn't have a job. I'm not sure. I said, I'm sorry, but this isn't the first time I've been put in this situation by him and his family where I'm expected to rescue them after they somehow forget their wallets and expect me to pay hundreds of dollars for their extravagant dinner. I told them I'll only pay for what I had, and that's it. He and his parents were shocked. They started arguing about how I have the potential to just pay right there, but I was acting as if I were as if they were strangers and not family, and that means I'm obligated to pay. And how could someone go to a fancy restaurant and order so many? Oh, she's saying, but how could someone go to a fancy restaurant and order so many dishes and desserts and drinks and not bring any money? Sam begged that I just do it and call it a night, but I refused. The argument got heated, and then I got up and walked out. Sam called me later at 2 a.m. basically yelling that I ruined New Year's Eve celebration and made his parents suffer because I refused to pay the entire bill and instead acted selfishly and paid only for myself after they were gracious enough to invite me. I told him how unfair it was for me to pay even if I have a good salary. It doesn't mean that I want to spend it all on fancy dinner. He didn't reply. He just said he'll pray that his parents will let this go and not resent me after I basically damaged the relationship with them. I felt awful thinking I should have covered the bill instead of leaving. Am I the antagonist?
So many levels.
Why are people like this? Like the parents? Why?
I know. I mean, I don't think she is the antagonist. Like,
I mean,
not completely.
Yeah,
I think if I were her, I would have paid.
Yes.
Mostly just to avoid the...
Yeah, right.
The big hullabaloo,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Even though I agree with her reasoning.
Right.
And I think the parents and her fiancé, who apparently doesn't have a job...
I know. Like, cuckoo!
Cuckoo. Well, that's like red flag number one.
Yeah, I know.
Red flag number one. Yeah. If you're gonna go to dinner and you know you don't have the money or your wallet or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Like, don't order everything.
Yeah. So much, right? Like, so many things.
Like,
right.
She was saying, yeah. So I agree with her on that point. Yeah. And then even, like, if you realize you don't have your wallet, like, talk about it beforehand.
Right. So she was saying at some point in her, like, long post that it's not the first time it's happened.
Yeah.
Too.
So weird. So it makes me feel like it's a little shady on their part, you know?
It's totally shady on their part. And I don't blame her for not paying, but I think I'm like you where I would have just paid it.
Yeah.
Because I don't like conflict. I would have been annoyed. I'm not saying her responsibility to pay it, but
and
I think I would have just done,
like,
it.
Also, just, like, logistically, I'm like, can we just, like, Venmo each other later?
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, for it to have become such a big thing, I don't know. That's what I would have done to avoid it, but also, maybe it's just a totally different lived experience and, culture.
Yeah,
but
that might be.
Like, amongst our friends and family, it's kind of assumed that, you know, if we get this one, you'll get the next one, or if we're splitting it, we can all just Venmo each other later. Like, I don't know. It just feels like a big deal out of something that I would not consider or want to make a big deal.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, such a different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think also because she's not married to them yet, or him yet, it's, like, her future in-laws.
Yeah.
The way it happened sounds kind of weird because it wasn't like a planned, like, hey, let's all go out on New Year's Eve. It was like he was out with his parents and she called him because she thought, oh, we're going to celebrate. And then he was like, no, I'm with my parents. And then he called her back and was like, oh, actually, why don't you come and join us? And so that also feels a little bit like you're inviting her to come be with
you.
If
you're invited. Yeah.
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 But also at the end. I wouldn't, but also, and I don't blame her for what she's doing. I think I would have paid, but I think it's really red flag number two that he called her after and yelled at her and blamed her for it and was like, it's your fault that my parents are, like, upset.
Suffered.
I know. Oh, my goodness. Like,
yikes.
I'm seeing so many, bad family dynamics here. Like, dude, this is my therapy lessons, like, coming out. I'm like, you need to draw some boundaries. Like, this is not okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll say not the antagonist.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Am I the antagonist for complaining about celebrating New Year's Eve with my mom? I, a 16-year-old male, was invited to a New Year's Eve party at my friend's house. I asked my mom, a 56-year-old female, if I could go, and she said it was okay. Everything was set until a week before the party, and I discovered my mom thought it was a family thing, and she was invited too. Oh, I no. said it was a party for teenagers, and she was okay with it. But then I realized that she didn't have any plans for New Year's Eve, and she would end up passing the day alone. Both me and her are introverts, but I was looking forward to spending New Year's with friends and not family, since I pass every single one with my family until this year, and I've never really enjoyed it. I wanted to know what that experience of celebrating with my friends would be like, even if it was different. But I couldn't let my mom be alone on the last day of the year, so I canceled my plans with my friends and I planned to spend it with her. I had everything planned, and I already told her, let's buy some fried chicken, cook a little this, cook a little that, watch a movie. Nice plans for nice introverts. I want a shirt that says that. Nice plans nice for nice plans introverts. Nice plans for nice
introverts. That's a good one.
Everything was set already. Then I woke up today. I think he's writing this on New Year's Eve. So I woke up today with my friends all talking about how great the day would be in our group. But I was resigned that what I had done was for a greater good, which is my mom's happiness. But then, when I was going to get some breakfast, my mom said that my uncle and aunt were going to prepare food for our little party. And I said, eh? Wasn't it just supposed to be me and you? And she explained that they changed plans and they're going to spend the day with us. It's important to remember that when I asked my mom if she was going to be alone on New Year's Eve, she gave a speech that was very martyrized and said that, oh, well, it won't be the first and it won't be the last New Year's Eve that I spend alone. And she said she was a lonely person and she's used to it and et cetera, et cetera. And now she tells me that family is coming, just like every New Year's Eve in my life. Like every New Year's Eve in my life. And I've never enjoyed it, not even a little bit. I complained about that and said that if I knew that she wouldn't have been alone, I would have just gone to my friend's party. And she started saying that she never asked for me to stay and started with the same martyr talk about how she doesn't care to be alone and she was crying. And now I feel guilty for complaining, even though I think I have the right to complain at least a little bit for her changing my plans twice due to her own drama. I was looking forward to cooking with her and spending the day with her, but now she can't stop talking about how displeased I am to be with her and keeping up with the martyr talk, and I really don't want to be around her now. So, am I the antagonist? I'm just staring at Jen saying, like, what's your answer?
Oh, I mean... No... No.
I would say no.
Right?
Hard no.
I feel like he's being, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just bad communication. It's just miscommunication. His mom probably just has misplaced expectations, obviously, on him. And he's like a kid, you know?
He's
like,
16, yeah.
Yeah, he's a kid.
Yeah, I would say no. And also, I don't know, again, this is like, I think I just have like family trauma or something. I'm like, why is the mom making, you're a kid. Yeah, exactly. Why is the mom like, making you feel guilty about this?
Yes.
And like being a drama, it's very like that hysterical Asian parent that's like, you don't love, you just want me to die, don't you? And like to manipulate what you want.
Yeah.
And I really can't stand that. So I don't know. I would say no, not the antagonist well. But I do feel for him. I know he's only 16, sweet kiddo. Okay.
I know he's writing this.
I know, like on Reddit. Yeah. Am I the antagonist? So cute. Okay. So I have this TikTok video.
Okay.
I'll hold the audio. So for our listeners, I'll hold the audio up to the mic so that you can listen, and for Gen Z, and I'll hold it up to the screen so you can watch if you want to watch.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Here's the context. Like, you might have seen this, Gen Z, because you're on TikTok, right?
No, not really.
Not really? Okay, so maybe you haven't seen
just
it.
Just your TikTok Tuesdays.
Oh, okay. So this, it's a smoothie shop, okay? The scene is a smoothie shop for those who can't see it. And it's a grown man, like a middle-aged, like older than us, like a grown man, and he's mad at the employees of this smoothie shop, and he's yelling. So you'll hear him yell. He does make like one racist comment in there, and the smoothie shop is like the employees that are there, at least at that time, are all teenage girls. And they look like teenage girls. They look like high schoolers with the hoodie and the jeans. They all look really young. So it's like three or four teenage girls alone in this smoothie store, like working the shift. And then this angry middle-aged man comes in. And this is what it sounds like. Hold on.
Please don't yell at us.
Yeah. Don't video TV.
You have no room to yell at us.
I want to speak to the fucking person who made this drink. Is that you?
No,
we don't know
who
made it, so. You don't know who made it?
There's four of us here, so we honestly don't know.
Fucking stupid, fucking ignorant high school kids.
Okay, bye.
I want to speak to the fucking
person. Bye. Okay, you can call corporate whenever you want. Goodbye.
Jim,
fuck that.
I don't care.
Give it to me right now.
So I'm going to stop it there because it's literally just that for 3 minutes straight.
Oh my goodness. I am like stressed. I'm so stressed.
Okay, hold on. Let me explain something though. Okay. You can hear that the man is just, he's screaming. He screams the entire time at the girls. And there's one part where the girl screams and she's screaming because he threw the smoothie at her. And it hit her shoulder, and that's when she goes, ah, like that. And then also the video, it's 3 minutes long, so I didn't, like, play the whole thing. But at one point, he tries to come in the back, and the back door is locked, like, you know, through the back, like, behind the counter, basically. He's trying to get in, and it's locked, but you can see, like, the door is, like, banging open, and all the teenagers have their shoulder against the door, and they're like, go. And then they're like, call the police, whatever. And, I don't know if it played in that, like, 30 seconds that I showed, but he, like, calls one of the girls, like, effing immigrant, and, like, he's just, like, he's really pissed. He's swearing. Mm-hmm. It's basically them just them screaming back and forth. That one, there's, like, one teenager that's, like, balls to the walls, like, I don't care. Yeah, so she's, like, get the F out! Get the F out! And then the guy's, like, oh, shut the F up! Whatever. Okay, so when you first see that, you're, like, dang, like, man has rage issues, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you have problems. Like, you know, there's a bunch of teenagers. Like, what? So your smoothie wasn't made the right way? Like, you're gonna throw a smoothie at a teenager? Yeah. Like, control your anger issues, mister. You know, and then like all the comments on TikTok are like, this thing got like a million views, right? It's like went viral. It's like, cancel him. Like, he's a male Karen, whatever. Like, the worst of the worst. Yeah. People like him deserve to die, whatever. Okay. So, you know, TikTok did its thing. Social media cancel culture is very real. Like, you really have to be careful if you're going to behave like that. And they immediately found who it was. They contacted his employer. He's like this – he's, I think, in his mid to late 40s. Uh-huh. And he's like this top wealth manager for Merrill Lynch. So, like, top of his game. Yeah. You know, like a big executive making lots of money. Merrill Lynch immediately fired him because in this culture, like corporate culture, like you can't, like if you have someone in your company that acts like that and you don't make a statement about it, it reflects on you as a company,
right?
So they immediately fire him. Anyways, so he like turned himself in later to the police because the police were looking for him. And we're not really sure like if it's going to go to trial, but the teenager who posted it says she was definitely going to press charges for assault, like whatever. Like, and so everyone's like, oh my gosh, good on you, boo. Like, whatever, you know, good job for catching him, whatever, all these things. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe men like that exist. Like, what a chauvinist, like, you know, what a jerk, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I Googled his name because they were like, this is his name. Everyone go and, like, find his LinkedIn and, like, you know, massacre him, right?
Yeah.
So I Googled him. And at this point, this case has, like, started to garner a lot of attention because, yeah, it's viral, right? Well, it's like, this is the context of why he was angry. So he went to the smoothie place and ordered a smoothie for his kid. And specifically asked for no peanut butter to be used in the smoothie because his son has a very severe anaphylactic allergy to peanuts. And he has a receipt from the smoothie shop that literally says no peanut butter, right?
Yeah.
Well, whoever made it either didn't make it correctly or didn't read it and puts peanut butter in it. He didn't know. And so he had ordered the smoothie, asked for no peanut butter, assumed that that's how they made it, took it home to his son. I don't know how old the kid is, but if he's 45 and like...
Yeah.
You know, I'm assuming like between 10 and 15 years old, right? The kid is, right? So definitely a minor. he gave the smoothie to his kid, and the kid immediately had such a severe reaction that they had to call 911, and he's in the hospital right now. Like, he was taken by ambulance to the hospital, and is in the hospital, was in the hospital at the moment this video was taken. So, and, like, the news reports give timestamps. Like, at 101, 1:01 p.m., he went into the smoothie store and ordered the smoothie. At 1:40, an ambulance was called to his residence, and, like, a minor child was reported to be in anaphylaxis and taken to the hospital. And then at 1:58, he re-entered the store, whatever. So he, like, gives all these timelines. So basically, you kind of see what's happening. He came back. Granted, he shouldn't have called the teenager an immigrant, and he shouldn't have been swearing, and he shouldn't have thrown the smoothie at them.
Yeah.
But his kid was in the freaking hospital because they didn't read the instructions correctly. And so now I'm like, you do still have rage issues, but, like, I kind of, as a parent, understand it. And that's why in the beginning of the clip, he's yelling, "Who made the smoothie? Who made the smoothie?" And you can hear all four employees. They're like, "We don't know who made it. Like, we don't keep track of who made it. We don't know." And he gets really frustrated by that. And he's like, "What do you mean you don't know who the F made this? You guys are all effing idiots." And anyways, it's kind of like what we always say with those different AITA scenarios. Like, maybe we don't fully agree with how, I don't know, that person handled it. But, like, don't you so much more understand it as a parent? Yeah, I'm like, if I went somewhere and I was like, yeah, you cannot have this ingredient in here, and then they made it anyway, and then my kid ended up in the hospital.
Yeah.
I would be so mad.
Yeah. I mean, I would be so mad, too. I'm also like, if you know your kid has
such a
severe reaction, like, you should test everything, right? Before, because I mean, accidents do happen. And I, like, personally get very offended when my order is made wrong, too.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't have any severe allergies, but I'm like, how could you mess this up? Like, you know, like, this is your job, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I understand that part. And especially when it is, like, a life and death situation. Right. But if it is to that severity, I also think the parent has some responsibility to make sure that, you know, that worked. Which is why, like, you know, you put that on when you're in schools, you know, you make sure it's noted that.
Yeah.
So you advocate for your child. So I think, that, I don't know. It's I think both sides have issues. So
Like, I agree with you, but don't you also think that this is a moment of, like, him not coping with his emotions very well?
And oh, yeah, totally. Really
upset, probably upset at himself, too, but, like, needing someone to take it out on and then going to the smoothie store and taking it out on the employees, which is not okay. But also, I think we can kind of, like, I don't know, maybe it's just too kumbaya of me, but I'm like, I think we can give grace, because I've definitely been in those moments when, like, I overreacted and misplaced my anger about something at someone else.
For sure.
I don't know. But, yeah, I would be scared. It's on the other hand, but if I was those employees, I'd be scared, too. Yeah. Because they're, like, 16, and 17 years old. And, like,
he never explains
why. Right. Well, why? We don't know.
Or maybe not the video in the beginning or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I would be so freaked out, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, no one wins, but I feel like it was just interesting because when I first saw that video, I was like, oh, man, this guy's complaining because they put, like, strawberries in his smoothie when he asked for the strawberries, and that's not okay. But then when I found out it was, like, a really severe reaction and, like, he had told them, please don't put this in there, and they did, and then his kid was in the hospital. I just, as a parent, I was like, I understand feeling so angry at the situation and at yourself that you would do something completely dumb like that, you know? Yeah. And do I think he should have been fired from his job for it? I don't know. It's hard. I think I just feel, I'm like, oh, how is he going to provide for his family now? Yeah. And, like, one mistake and, like, you know, no one is completely mistake-free. No, like, everyone makes mistakes.
Or those books now where you kind of get all the perspectives. Yeah. And, you know, the overall story, you're like, you have such a visceral reaction to one's, you know, the story as a whole, it's, like, meant to elicit that. But then, you know, you hear the backstories of, like, where everyone is, and you're like, man, this is a lot more complicated.
Layered. Yeah.
And layered and nuanced. And, you know,
Then. Yeah.
that.
Anyways, that was my last one. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow, that was a long episode. What a month. What a month. What an episode. It was fun to record, though.
Yeah. Fun, yeah. Fun. Alrighty. Well, thank you for bearing with us and listening to our weirdness and our crazy month. But read The Boyfriend Project with us for next month. And we'll have some new stuff up on the blog, penandpagegals.com. New stuff on Instagram, Pen and Page Gals. You can follow Sophia at Sophia K Says and me at Jen Sane. And anything else?
That's it.
That's it. Until next month.
Bye. Bye.